Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me again this week on the SOS Podcast. I'm your host, Carl. I hope you're all doing well. Ever since I started studying the Bible, studying scripture, one thing that's stood out to me is how much of a paradox God can be, or how much of a paradox the Word of God can be. There are things that seem to be so easy and so simple as far as biblical doctrine is concerned, or our instruction, what God commands us to do. And then there are other things that seem simple at first, but then you realize it takes a lot of study, a lot of research, and a lot of revelation through the Holy Spirit to really understand how certain spiritual concepts work, spiritually and practically. One of these concepts has really been highlighted to me because of a song I keep hearing on the radio. It's Love God, Love People by Danny Gokey. When I first heard the song, I thought, well, you know, it's a good message, but it's just a little simple, a little too simple. It's not that easy what God calls us to do. It's not a matter of following these two little steps and calling it a day. There's a lot of work for us to do other than simply loving. But then if we look at scripture, we can see it's clear that the entire law can be fulfilled if we follow just two commands. And what are those commands? To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Well, that seems just as simple as that song seems. Actually, it sounds like the song is right on. Well, the issue here is that loving God with everything we have and loving our neighbors as ourselves can actually get really complicated. You know, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. So it's not as easy as just saying, well, I have this emotion, this love for Christ or for the Father or for the Spirit. When we say that we love God, what we mean is that we will obey him. That's the fruit, that's the proof of our love, is our obedience. So now we're talking about not having an emotion, but actually doing some kind of work. So love should produce work in us. It should produce fruit in us. And that's where it gets a little complicated, especially when we look at the command to love our neighbors as ourselves. Because that neighbor is not necessarily going to be a friend, a brother, a sister, even a pleasant person. I mean, that neighbor could be someone we consider a mortal enemy. That one person who's always just horrible to us. The one person who maybe has even sinned greatly against us. Even that person is a neighbor that we're to love, because scripture tells us, of course, we love our enemies and we pray for them. So this is the complicated world based on such a very simple scripture that if we devote everything we have to obeying God and to surrendering ourselves that we would love everyone as we love ourselves, then we could fulfill every aspect of the law. And you know, that's what God wants of us. There's an example in scripture that I think clearly highlights what this kind of surrender looks like and how difficult it can be for us to do these simple things, fulfill these two simple commands. The example is Jonah. We know the story of Jonah, very short. I think there's four chapters in the book. There have been plays about this story. I'm sure you can find dozens of expositions on the original language, but the book itself doesn't seem to tell us too much. We've got Jonah. God tells him, go to this evil place and cry out over them because I've been made aware of their evil. Their evil has come to my attention. I think the scripture actually says their evil ways or their wicked ways have come before me. It's almost like someone's taken an accusation to a judge, right? Someone's filed a complaint. And so the judge is like, well, this evil act has now come before me and it's time for me to judge, to do something. So God sends Jonah to do this. And we don't know this from the first chapter in that book, but we know this from the last chapter, that the reason Jonah flees and decides he's not going to follow God's command to go cry out over this wicked city is because Jonah understands that God is gracious and compassionate. And the last thing he wants is to give these people another chance. God is asking Jonah to do two things. He's asking Jonah to love him by obeying him, and to love these wicked neighbors by declaring God's word over them, which is not designed to bring judgment, but actually we'll see it's compassion. God's giving them a chance to make him change his mind. He's giving them an opportunity to repent. When God sends Jonah to say, this city will be destroyed in 40 days, it's actually not set in stone. Those people have the opportunity to turn toward him, to change their ways, and actually avoid that destruction. That's the difficult thing here for Jonah. God has a certain standard and a way that he wants to do things, and Jonah disagrees. Jonah doesn't want mercy for these evil people. Jonah looks at himself and says, I'm the kind of person who deserves God's mercy, but these people, these wicked people who don't recognize him, who never recognized him, they don't deserve his mercy. They deserve destruction. So Jonah's okay going to the city to speak of God's destruction and judgment because that's what those people deserve in his eyes. But he gets the idea that God actually is sending him there to pour out mercy over those people. And that's the problem that he has. He has decided in a moment that his opinion, his standard, is going to be different than that of God himself. That's what makes it difficult for us to follow such simple commandments. Two things, love God and love people. You know, the difficulty lies in what we rely on to fulfill those commands. If I rely on myself, my flesh, my ideas of love, my standards of anything, it's going to be impossible. There's no way I'm going to surrender everything to God. There's no way I'm going to love those who, in most people's eyes, are way too evil to be loved, people who don't deserve anything good at all. In order for me to fulfill those two simple commands, things have to get complicated. I really have to surrender to God in every way and allow Him and His Holy Spirit to work through me. I need to have God's standard of love, period. I can't love him the way he demands unless I love the way he loves. I can't love people the way he demands unless I love the way he loves. This requires recognition that I and my standards are so far from God and his standards. Recognizing how much transformation is required of me to be able to do the two simple things that we have to do. Both things founded in love, but not man's version of love, not my standard of love, not your standard of love, but God's standard of love, which is unconditional. Another complication here is the fact that to love a person does not always look the way we think it looks. It's not always smiley and rosy. Sometimes God calls us to love people by speaking difficult truth to them. We're called to love and support people, but we certainly are not called to support and accept sin, especially within the church. And so sometimes that love looks like God asking us to approach a brother, a sister, and speak God's truth over them in correction, but still in love. That gets difficult too, because now you have questions of, well, is this person going to accept this from me? Is this person going to no longer be my friend because of this? Is this someone who is going to think I'm being judgmental? Perhaps God has never asked you to do something like that, and so you don't know if maybe this is all your own invention and design, and it's not actually something God has prompted you to do or say. At the end of the day, what we need to think about when we think about loving people is our goal should always be whatever is for that person's best. What's in that person's best interest? We don't condemn, definitely not. We don't judge the world, however we are to judge the church. That doesn't mean to sit in judgment, but it does mean to call out sin for what it is. It does mean to exercise the authority God has given to the members of the church to keep the members of the church in line. It's for us to purify ourselves. It's for us to sanctify ourselves, which means that the church should always be vigilant to be watching the church to make sure that her members are headed in the right direction. The reason why it gets so complicated to fulfill two little commands, to love God and love people, is because sometimes that love requires that we step out of our comfort zone or put ourselves in a difficult position that could bring criticism or judgment from others. In all of this, we know the only way to complete God's commands, to walk out what He wants us to walk out, is to put ourselves aside, to put our pride aside, to forget about all the ideas we have about ourselves, what we think we deserve or how great we think we are. We've got to be able to say, none of that matters. It doesn't matter what I endure. It doesn't matter how I'm made to feel. I want to love God by obeying Him. And I want to love people by doing what is best for them, even if that's an incredibly difficult thing. Father, we ask You today to speak to us, to show us where it is that we need to change and grow, that we would be able to fulfill these great commands, to love You with everything we have, everything we can love You with. And Father, to love others as we would love ourselves. Father, we ask for discernment and direction, that You would open opportunities for us to exercise this love, to develop good habits in our relationship with You and our relationships with others. And Father, when You send us out on Your behalf to do a good work or to speak the truth, Father, give us confidence, not in ourselves, but in You and the power of Your Spirit, that we can fulfill faithfully that which You have ordained. Father, we love You, and we can't wait to see You face to face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good day, and God bless. Soul. Soul. Ow. Ow. Soul.